continuing. Home stretch, finishing up this really amazing section on Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text 13 and 14. Okay. So we all know the verse because you've heard it 15 times. Here's Jiva Goswami from Krishna Sandarbha, where he's beginning. The focus is what we heard similar to yesterday, the all-pervasive nature. The all-pervasive nature of he who has a form. So it sounds contradictory, but here's the explanation. His all-pervasive nature is stated in 10.9.13, na chantar na bahir yasya. So antar and bahir, within, without. He has no interior and no exterior. All-pervasive. He is beyond material objects. Here's Rukmini's letter to Krishna, chapter 60. We heard this yesterday. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally fooled, and thus she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse. Contradiction. Living corpse. Covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair, and body hair, and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile, and air. Yummy. Krishna is self-revealing. This is Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14, text 2. Even by controlling the mind, no one can understand the greatness of this form of the Lord of the universe, which manifested in many forearm forms, but which is actually you, the one form of Swayam Bhagavan, who gave me mercy by your own will, who spread throughout the universe in many spiritual forms and possess bliss, which can be understood only by yourself. So he's going to focus a little bit on how he alone can understand his bliss. Having described Krishna with his human form in the previous verse, text 1, Brahma now describes one of the deva forms. No, deva forms doesn't mean a demigod in this case. It's a divine form. We'll see. It's in the Sanskrit of the verse. We'll hear. Deva Vapu Shaha, divine form. Brahma describes one of the deva forms with forearms, one of the many, which manifested from his angsas in the form of cowherd boys and calves. How can I describe them all? You are the source of those forms. What to speak of being merciful to those forms of Vishnu, Deva Vapushaha? You are merciful to me, Mad Anugrahasya. Since, by seeing those forms of yours, I understand your greatness. Then, you experience your bliss by yourself. This cannot be experienced by another person. Only you know your happiness. Brahma speaks this to the Lord. Continuing, this is Krishna Sandarbha. Remember what Krishna Sandarbha is. It's the fourth of the six Sandarbhas, focusing on Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna is the original form of all Bhagavan forms, or Vishnu Tattva forms. Krishna is the original. He's going to focus on this word, Sarvatmana, the soul of all existence. Sarvatma mana, the soul of all existence. So here we go. He's making now reference to Canto 10, Chapter 47, where Krishna is speaking in his letter to the gopis. You are never actually separated from me. For I am the soul of all creation, Sarvatmana. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every created thing, so I am present within everyone's mind, life, air, and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. Kind of high philosophy to write a letter to the gopis, but that's what Krishna is saying. So again, the BBT, this isn't Prabhupada, this is his disciples, but the Sarvatmana is given in the word for word, the soul of all existence, or the soul with a capital S of all creation. So now separateness. Your separation from me does not occur in all manifestations, Sarvatmana. There is separation in one present manifestation during prakat pastimes and aprakat pastimes with another manifestation. There is union only. Na chantar na bahir yasya. You probably memorized that one by now. Na cha antar na bahir yasya. He has no interior, exterior. Now that's spoken, the reference there is in relation to Krishna's letter to the gopis, and then Jiva Goswami in Krishna Sandarbha makes reference to our chapter 9 explanation. In relation to the Damodar pastime, and in Krishna's pastime of eating earth, Yashoda and others realize Krishna's all-pervasiveness and power in the medium-sized form. The two contrary qualities of all-pervasion and medium size exist in him at the same time and are not impossible for the Lord, who has the inconceivable Shakti of pervasion. Remember we discussed this yesterday? What was the word again, Radha? Swarat? Remember the word, Swarat? What does Swarat mean? Independent. He doesn't rely on anything outside of himself to do what he does. His intelligence, his cognizance, his potencies. He's not prompted by something else to do. He's independent. He's totally independent. Right. So with that full position of being the fountainhead of everything, he can at the same time be all-pervasive and have a form. Now, if you're a Mayavadi, you go, no. And if you're a devotee, you go, yes. So say it again. Form means limiting. There's the boundaries of his form. He's only this tall and this wide and, you know, has medium size. And so there's boundaries. So that means material. If you're a Mayavadi. And if you're not a Mayavadi, no. He has a medium form and he's all-pervasive at the same time. Because those are his potencies, and it's made possible because of his potencies. Simultaneously. It's a puzzle, so the puzzle is being repeated multiple times, so we can kind of get the puzzle piece and how it fits into the big picture of the big puzzle. Again, he has the inconceivable Shakti of pervasion. Next paragraph. Shrutestu Shabda Mulatvat. We heard that one before. That's a Vedanta Sutra statement. Very terse. Shrutestu Shabda Mulatvat. He translates it this way, this time. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning the inconceivable subjects. Remember, if we want to understand transcendence, there isn't a way by material power to understand transcendence. There is a way, and that is from the sound, shabda, of the Vedas, one can get access to transcendence. Say it again. Conversely, you can't get access to transcendence without the Vedas. So how are we going to understand anything is through the Vedas. That's the pramana. That's the means of knowing. He then says, this is explained philosophically in Bhagavad Sandarbha. If you remember when we were at the home Sunday, the Sri Vaishnava family's home. Same statement is made in a different Anuchet where it says, according to the teachings of Ramanuja. So what's the teachings of Ramanuja? It's called, at least amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's called Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta means attributes. And Advaita means non-dual. So, inherently within Bhagavan, there are attributes. And according to Vishishta Advaita, he may manifest them, he may withdraw them, that's the prakat, aprakat. In all circumstances, those attributes are non-different than him. Manifest or not manifest? Manifest or not manifest? The attributes are inherently within him, and they are manifest or not manifest. So how are we going to understand transcendence? Through the Vedas. And the Vedas teach us there's qualities inherent within the Lord that are manifest and not manifest. So when they're manifest, material means to see them as being separate from their source. Spiritual means to see them as being connected to the source because they are. Everything is connected to the source of everything. Paragraph. Since he is evasive, simultaneously it is not necessary for him to create other forms for remaining in many other places. Got it? He doesn't have to, okay, you're going to be all pervasive, okay, here's my forms all over the place. Now I'm all pervasive. It's within him to be all pervasive. It's a Shakti. So he doesn't need to manifest multiple. He may do 16,108 or during Rasa Dance so many Krishnas, but he can be all pervasive without expanding his form because he's all pervasive. That's a Shakti that's inherent within him. Whether it's manifest or not manifest, it's a Shakti inherent within him. Rather, by his inconceivable Shakti, according to his will, one form alone manifests in many ways with simultaneous appearance of his medium form and all-pervasive huge form. Simultaneously, like a reflection caused by a polished mirror. So now he's going to explain why the reflection of a polished mirror is not the same as Krishna's being all-pervasive. Here we go. However, a reflection takes place only using a reflecting medium, a mirror. And without direct touch, smell. So you can smell something, although your nose doesn't have to touch that something. With the form in the mirror, the form appears reversed and separated from the original object. The unique feature of the Lord's expanded form is that it arises from his inherent Shakti without needing a mirrored medium like a mirror or air to carry the aroma. So you can smell something from a distance without touching your nose to that something. While Krishna has this unique feature, the qualities within the original are maintained, such as touch, taste, etc. And, very important, this arises by his will, the power of the original form. So he's right now, this practically, here he's with us, or we're with him, or he's present. And we can't perceive it, but one who Krishna chooses to reveal his pervasiveness can perceive it. That's what we heard discussed yesterday, that swabhava siddhi, one has to be qualified. And Krishna, of course, Krishna can reveal himself to an unqualified person, but how are they going to process it? They're not going to process it as the perfected soul will. This is tying into this, you know, effort and mercy question you keep asking. Separate activities take place in each of these manifestations by his inconceivable Shakti. This is a Bhagavad Sandarbha topic. It's finding its place in Krishna Sandarbha because Krishna is the original Bhagavan. But it's the same as a Bhagavad Sandarbha topic. Thus, there is no contradiction in simultaneously closing and opening his eyes, simultaneously opening and closing his eyes. That's not possible for us. In different forms produced in different manifestations, the powerful Lord, who is the shelter of various contrary actions, is the actual performer of those actions. This is his nature, as described in many places in the Bhagavatam. The wise, however, do not gain happiness by this display. The very necessity of the existence of the Lord with contrary properties is the proof of his existence. Thus, so now is the supportive scriptural evidence. Narada says from Canto 10, Chapter 69, he's visiting Dwarka, right? It is astonishing that with one form he simultaneously manifests separately in many places. We're taking a plunge into Krishna Tattva. The Shakti to have one form appearing separately in many forms, each doing separate actions, is not possible for sages. That is what Narada found astonishing. Like, you know, mystic power, mystic yogis, by tapping into super soul, they can manifest seven forms of themselves. But it's not seven forms doing separate things simultaneously, and each one becomes weaker, weaker, weaker. That's a power that comes from Krishna. When Krishna manifests his power, it doesn't have that limitation. That manifested form is sometimes called Atma and sometimes Rupa. Now he goes circles back to the Sarvatmana form. Thus, previously, Sarvatmana meant by all manifested forms. Remember what the Sarvatmana word is in relation to? Let's circle back. It's in relation to Krishna's letter to the gopis, where he says, I'm the soul of all creation, and thus you're not separated from me. So, although he's in Mathura writing a letter, telling him, you know, I'm with you, but he's in Mathura. They don't want him to be in Mathura. They want him to be, the gopis, they want his physical presence, or it's something like Akura. We were discussing this before coming to Boston. Really, right on. He's not a Brijbasi. He's visiting Vrindavan. His mind is so absorbed in full knowledge of Krishna's potencies that he's able to experience within his heart what it's going to be like to be with Krishna and all those things happen. But that's in his mind, and the anticipation is not just the experience within his mind. He wants to be with Krishna. He wants to see Krishna. He wants to place his head before Krishna. He wants Krishna to place his hand on his head. He wants Krishna to embrace him. He wants Krishna to smile. He wants to experience. So this is very similar to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita message, where Gopa Kumar, by meditation, he's in Tapaloka and he sees Madan Gopal, but it's not the same. Not the same. With the process of meditation leads one to the spiritual presence of Krishna. The meditation, so the mind touching that form of Krishna is incomplete. What's complete? The Bhagavan feature is experienced directly, not just within the mind. So, Sarvatmana meant, in that letter to the gopis, by all manifested forms. Now he gives some additional references that says the same thing. This is from the Rasa Dance section, chapter 33. Reference says, expanding himself, Atmanam, into as many forms as there were gopis. Or, in chapter 59, Krishna expanded his form for each of the 16,000 queens. Or, chapter 30, he, Jara, was instructed by the Lord, who takes forms by his will. Excuse me, this is 11, Canto 11, he's shot by a hunter in his heel. The hunter's name is Jara. So Krishna instructed Jara, don't worry, don't fret over what just happened. This is my pastime. You're fine. I take many forms by my will. But these are scriptural statements indicating the one can manifest himself multiply or need not manifest himself multiply. That one has all the power of pervasiveness or pervasion inherent within him. And by his will he manifests, however he manifests. Continuing. Since each form of the locus of various actions, each form is the locus, kind of like the hub, and from the hub comes many spokes. So it's like the epicenter from the epicenter comes things. So his form is the locus of various actions. The Lord has different identities in each of these manifestations for nourishing the rasa of the pastime. In other words, he assumes a childlike form. He assumes a teenage form. He assumes a 9-year-old, 7-year-old form lifting Govardhan Hill. He assumes forms suited for the pastime. He's not changing his identity. He's not growing and doing things like those with human bodies do. It's manifesting appropriate for the rasa. And he's enjoying the rasa with his devotees according to the situation that he's creating all by his internal potency. Really far out. I'll read that sentence again. Since each form is the locus of various actions, the Lord has different identities in each of these manifestations for nourishing the rasa of the pastime. And by his will accepts not to investigate the actions of other forms. Investigate the actions of other forms. He's, fully present, not distracted. Because he has the power, these expansions take place in his associate as well. Here's the Devaki example. They also have different manifestation. For instance, Devaki was present to each of the marriages of the 16,000 queens simultaneously. Sridhar Swami says, quote, Devaki was present simultaneously in each house. There's no limit to his potencies, but we're hearing about them. And his inconceivable potencies are being conceived of. Krishna has different identities and actions in the different manifestations of Krishna. For example, the power of his yogamaya seen by Narada is described as follows. Again, Narada's in Dwarka. There he saw the Lord playing at dice with his beloved consort and his friend Uddhava. Krishna worshipped Narada by standing up, offering him a seat. And then later in the same chapter, somewhere he was consulting with royal ministers like Uddhava, and somewhere else he was enjoying in the water, surrounded by many society girls and other young women. Again, there is a different identity because of different bhavas. I am here. Thus, in the marriage of 16,000 queens, Devaki was happy seeing them all performing various auspicious acts with Krishna in the various places. And not seeing him, she longed to see him in each place. Since the power of his yogamaya, seeing the power of his yogamaya, Uddhava sometimes felt union and sometimes separation. Remember the verse, this is the verse of Krishna writing to the gopis. There is no separation. There may be feelings of separation, but there's no separation. Paragraph. When there are different manifestations, there are different actions according to the bhava. In the uprakat manifestation of Krishna, uprakat means unmanifest, situated in a special manifestation of Vrindavan at this moment, the associates manifested in the uprakat manifestation experience union with Krishna. In the prakat manifestation, the associates experience separation when he goes to Mathura, though he was previously in Braja. By accepting these two manifestations, in three places, he is said to be eternally residing there with his associates. That statement cannot be refuted. In the prakat past times, though he sometimes goes elsewhere with his associates, he remains there because of manifesting another form, that's his aprakat feature. Thus Krishna correctly said, you have no separation from me. Last paragraph of that section. Eternal union is the greatest secret. That's his aprakat pastimes. Krishna teaches this under the pretense of Brahmagyan. That's, again, this letter to the gopis. And the gopis, they don't care. They want Krishna come. And this is the prakat feature. But he's, you know, aprakat, I'm with you. Brahmagyan, hey, gopis. Elsewhere also, one can see secret teachings covered by statements with other meanings. An example is Vidura instructing the Pandavas secretly when they were going to the shellac house. What's that example? Do you know that example, Radha? One of the murder plots in Mahabharata. One of the murder plots. Murder. A plan to kill Krishna. Plan to kill Bhishma. Bhima. There was a plan to kill Bhima. Duryodhana couldn't stand Bhima. So he told his father of his plan. Duryodhana told Dhritarashtra the plan. Dhritarashtra didn't like the plan. But when Duryodhana said, if I can't do this plan, I'm giving up my life, he shut up. He didn't like the plan. He had affection for his brother. Pandu took care of him when he was blind, like a brother. And here's the sons of his brother. So the plan was, somebody else made the plan. I think it's Gandhari's brother made the plan of how. So the plan was, send the five brothers to a place. They built the place. So it was highly flammable. Shellac. You heard of that word before? Shellac is a kind of, you put on wood, so it shines and it preserves the wood, but it's highly flammable, shellac. So it's called the House of Lac. It was built, the wood was soaked in the stuff, and then they painted it, so it was like, touch a match to it, and poof. So the plan was, and finally, Dhritarashtra just remained silent. And based upon the principle, silence means consent, Duryodhana went ahead with the plan. The plan was to invite the five brothers to go to a place where they could have some nice, summer retreat by a river, have a nice time, the House of Lac. And Yudhishthira was reluctant because he smelled the rat. He understood that there's something evil in this idea, but he didn't disagree because it wasn't proper to refuse a courtesy and kind of invitation. So he observed social etiquette. Vidura pulled him to the side and told him in a riddle kind of message that Kunti didn't understand. So Kunti asked Yudhishthira, what was that message he spoke? I couldn't understand it. So in a secret way, Vidura knew what the plan was. So he warned them, they're going to try to kill you. He didn't say it. He said in a riddle, I don't remember the words. I don't remember the word. You can go research it. You can research it. I'm not going to go there. So it's just reference is Vidura instructing the Pandavas secretly when they were going to the shellac house. So sometimes there are statements with covered meanings. That's an example. So sometimes in the Vedas, sometimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, he's saying, Jiva Goswami is saying, there's some situations like that. Similarly, Narada, instructing the Haryashvas, spoke with secret meaning. Many times you say something indirectly and people don't get it. So some people just like being really direct. And when you really direct some people, they're taken aback, like, wow. So some people are really direct, and some people don't like it. Sometimes people are indirect, and people don't understand it. So what's all that about? Krishna speaking to the gopis, Brahma Gyan, they don't get it. We're not separate. And he's over there in Mathura. Come on. What was really effective was Uddhava stayed for several months. And by his presence, their feelings of separation from Krishna subsided. Because of his closeness to Krishna, he even looked like Krishna, had love for Krishna. Their feelings of separation subsided. The letter didn't do it, because it was not so clear. It was a covered statement. That was what the reference is. One more. Here we go. This is Krishna Sandarbha again. Because Sri Krishna is full of all inconceivable potencies, he is able to appear before his devotees in his uppercut form, when he is not visible to them in his prakat form. What does that mean? They can see him within their heart. They can see him, not just meditate on him, but they can see him. That's described that it's very mysterious. The love of the gopis was so strong that, here's two examples. When Krishna would go to the forest, this is chapter 35, they could see Krishna's pastimes remotely, as if they were there. It was in the present tense. The language of the Sanskrit is, they were seeing, they were experiencing, although he's off in the forest. They're feeling separation from him, but they're seeing him, feeling his presence. Very mysterious. Another is comments by our acharyas in their commentaries, and it was a common thing. They're feeling such intense separation, they can see Krishna. His uppercut become visible, and they still feel separation. It's perplexing. It's contradictory. It's mystical. It's being explained by our acharyas this way. The wonderful potencies of Lord Krishna's form were seen by Mother Yashoda and the other residents of Vrindavan in his pastime of being bound with a rope by Mother Yashoda. His form, which is unlimited, was being bound. That's the point. And revealing his universal form to Mother Yashoda when he was suspected of eating clay. These two pastimes may appear to be self-contradictory, that is, first, showing Sri Krishna as an ordinary child, able to be bound up by his mother, and the second pastime showing Sri Krishna as the all-pervading and omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, however, there is no contradiction. Why is that? For Lord may appear as a helpless child or as the Supreme Lord by his inconceivable potencies. These inconceivable potencies are described in the Vedic literatures, which are the most authoritative source of knowledge as confirmed in Vedanta Sutra. Here we are again. Shrutes tu shabda mulatvat. Meaning Vedic literature is the most authoritative source of knowledge. And the last sentence, the reader is referred to Bhagavad Sandarbha, Anuchades 30 through 39, which is what we're going to do next, for a more elaborate explanation of this subject. Maybe we'll skip it, because if it's more elaborate, this is pretty elaborate already. But that's that section that's according to the teachings of Ramanuja, that go back to the beginning of Tattva Sandarbha. In Tattva Sandarbha, which is the first of the six Sandarbhas, the first section is Pramana Kanda. Pramana means evidence or proof. So the Pramana Kanda section of Tattva Sandarbha says, I want to talk about Krishna, but before we talk about Krishna, or for that matter, talk about anything, what's your means of knowing anything? How do you know anything? No, existentialists ask the same question. Existential philosophers. Never heard it? Do I exist? How do I know what is? No, just listen. That's the question of the existentialists. And, you know, they reached a conclusion. You can't know anything. You can't even know that you exist. You don't know. How do you know? How do you know anything? So that's the mind. You can't know anything conclusively through the mind. You can propose something and then refute that something and propose another something. And so the existentialists just throw their hands up in the air and say, I don't know if I exist. And then there's another version that says, well, I think, therefore, I exist. That's Descartes. Anyway, how do you know anything? So that he says, I want to talk about Krishna. Before talking about Krishna, how do I know about Krishna? How do I know anything, for that matter? So then he goes through a whole discussion about how you know something. That's tattvas, that's pramana kanda section. Pramana means evidence. This is how you know something. And how do you know transcendence? You know, he concludes, the whole section is, the best way of knowing something about Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then that section closes. And then there's a small section that somebody, Surabhi, if you're listening, she was asking this question on our car ride to the program yesterday evening. You know, so I sent her back. Somebody wants to know, where is it described that the Vedas are the source of transcendental knowledge? So that's from that section. To know transcendence, you need evidence, and the evidence is the Vedas, and how Vyasadeva did what Vyasadeva did to compile the Vedas. Then there's a little section that's like kind of like a springboard for the whole rest of the Sandarbhas, where he says, this composition is going to, the methodology, it's like what scholars do when you write a PhD paper or thesis or something. You outline what the topic is, and how you plan to address the topic, and what are the authoritative sources that you're going to draw upon to establish your thesis. It's just a standard procedure for, you know, papers or thesis. So he says, the primary source I've already established, it's Bhagavatam, and other sources will include, and he lists what the other sources are. And one of the other sources is Sridhar Swami's commentary on the Bhagavatam. And then he says, at least those portions that are consistent with Vaishnava understandings. Then he says, Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya and other well-known, their teachings I'm going to draw upon. And then literatures that they have referenced, I have either personally examined, or if I haven't examined, on their authority, except that they are authoritative. And those are my sources of knowledge. And then he proceeds. The procedure is he makes a statement. He supports the statement from Scripture. He addresses other further subpoints of that main point. He addresses, some people will disagree and say this, and refutes this. And they disagree with the refutation and say that, and he refutes the reputation and goes back to the main point. And that's Anuchetas. Then he goes on to the next one, the next one, the next one. And there's a flow, very scholarly procedure. And why am I bringing this up? This same thing that he's writing here from Vedanta Sutra, because that's accepted as authoritative. Shrutestu shabda mulatvat. How are we going to understand things that are transcendental? Transcendental meaning that was just beyond the mind and beyond the senses, or adhoksaja. It's not conceivable with the mind. So that the existentials that ask, do I exist, they're never going to find out because they don't accept Scripture. They're just on the chariot of the mind and they don't know. And they throw their hands up in the air and say, I don't know. Nothing matters. I know some people that have been in that space. And when they came across Krishna consciousness, it was a challenge, but they felt a lot of relief. Because there is a way to know. You don't have to just ride on the chariot of the mind. But if you hold on to the chariot of the mind and try to understand Bhagavatam, you won't get very far. You'll feel very frustrated and doubtful. And so the doubtfulness is not just to be tossed to the wind. The doubtfulness should be driven by I want to know inquiry. And then when you hear, then the covering becomes cleansed, addressed, and the doubt is removed. Just like Krishna and Arjuna does in Bhagavad Gita, the doubt is removed, and then he can see. Like that question the other day, nice question of how do we get to the point where this theoretical notional idea of Krishna gets into reality? How do I can actually experience? Well, you have to qualify. To actually experience. The potential is within already. It's not something you need to go out and get one of those or 20 of those. It's already there. It's covered. Okay, so we're going to, I'll take a look, a more deep explanation of what we've been talking about from Bhagavat Sandarbha of the transcendental nature of Krishna. Probably worthwhile to go through again, because now we have some building blocks and we'll hear it again and hear it again and hear it again and hear it again. And then it'll be really clear. So when somebody says blah, 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 we'll at least have the foundation for knowing how to respond. What's the nature of Krishna? To accept that there's God, that's good. That's the beginning. Say it reverse. Those that don't accept that there's God, this is, I've been listening to Prabhupada speaking this over and over in his recorded Bhagavad Gita lectures, they're not even human. They're the lowest of mankind, Naradama. What about they have a big degree? Mayaya Pratigyana. Asarim Bhava Mashrita. I mean, it's heavy. But if someone says they don't accept the Vedas and they don't know Krishna, Naradama, just like that. Now, he didn't go around hitting people with a baseball bat saying, you're a Naradama. But at least being clear, where's the line? And someone's understanding may be, you know, neophyte. That's okay. Accept Krishna and become eager to learn the message of the Vedas. Then you're a human being. You're in the process of becoming perfect. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion. Go ahead, you go first. Go ahead, yes. It's not on. Microphone's not on. Okay, we're on.
Hare Krishna Maharaji, my question is, what is Brahm Gyan?
What is?
Brahm Gyan.
Brahma Gyan.
Gyan. And what are the qualities of Brahm Gyani?
Okay. Brahma Gyan, this, we discussed this, 1855, right, Paramarupa? 1854. You have a Bhagavad Gita, you can look it up. But it's Brahma Bhuta. That's Brahma Gyan. Brahma Bhuta means minimally knowing that you are a spiritual entity, not the covering, not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the false ego. You are a spiritual entity. That knowing that I am a spiritual entity, Brahma Gyan, knowledge of Brahman. And the symptoms are in that verse. Prasanatma, joyfulness. Na sochati, na kangsit, neither hankering nor lamenting for something temporary, because there's prasanatma, there's happiness within. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu, seeing other living entities equally. Seeing them on the spiritual platform. You deal differently with different living entities in an appropriate way, but seeing the spiritual identity within. And then the fourth symptom is then bhakti may begin. Bhakti meaning the transcendental consciousness of pleasing Krishna in all things. And we can practice that before we become realized in Brahma Gyan. That's like a little bit this question this person was asking about notional and then experiential. But the practice stage is where at least one understands in principle. Okay? That's
Thank
it.
You.
Brahma Gyan. You're on. Very good, very good. Now she's fixing her mind to begin the sentence. Huh? Yeah.
I have 7 or 6 questions.
Okay. Go ahead. Go. Let's go. Let's
My go. First one is, did the gopis know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
No.
Okay.
And they didn't care to know either.
They just wanted to enjoy.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Next.
Was Devaki, what was Devaki's perception? I don't know, the thinking or
in her experience?
No. Taking the situation of Krishna and the girls getting married, how was she thinking of Bonnet?
How wonderful. Serving Krishna it as like a mother serves.
Is it that all the incarnations get expanded, not really expanded, but Krishna expanding into all those incarnations and happen at the same time in all the places?
For Krishna, there's no... The limits of time don't exist. But for us, the limits of time are perceived. A lot depends upon us rather than him. So let's just take, here's a nice example I like. Towards the end of the 10th canto, one of the places that Krishna hasn't gone yet was to visit his dear devotee Shrutadev. Bahalashva was a king, and Shrutadev was a Brahmin in a very remote place, so Krishna went to see them. And on the way, the whole Yadu group stopped in different places, and they also got to see Krishna, but his intention was see the king, Bahalashva. And when he got there, they both, Bahalashva and Shrutadev, wanted Krishna to stay with them, take meal at their home. So what did Krishna do? He expanded himself into two Krishnas. Simultaneously. Now, whether they watched, like, wow, look at that. We don't know what their experience was, which is kind of what your question, previous question was. But he has the capacity. So those are simultaneous expansions, in time of as we experience it. So what their sense was, Krishna's with me. Their sense, my understanding is this, their sense is Krishna's with me. Like the Cowherd Boys, when they're sitting having lunch. Their experience was, Krishna's looking at me. He can't take his eyes off me. And they're all experiencing the same thing. Or during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, before the Rath Yatra cart, they were seeing, Lord Chaitanya is looking at me. And they're each seeing the same thing, or experiencing the same thing. Although he's one Lord Chaitanya, or one Krishna sitting with the Cowherd Boys. Their experience is according to their relationship with him, and Krishna's reciprocating. Now, he could manifest multiple Krishnas, or just give them the feeling that he gave them. And in one sense, it's the same, it's just different inconceivable potencies manifesting themselves. It's beyond our mind's comprehension, but this is the explanation given by our acharyas. Next.
I heard that the gopis expanded into Krishna's wives. Is this true?
According to Rupa Goswami, yes.
What is the significance of that?
What's that?
What is the significance of that?
They wanted Krishna as their husband. He reciprocated.
Do the college or school's teachers believe in God, or do they try to encourage the students to believe in God?
Couldn't follow. Could you follow?
Could the college students, college professors and teachers, they encourage their students to believe in God, or...
Some do, some don't.
Will we say the whole story of the black, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, the black house.
Not black, lack house.
Lack house.
L-A-C, L-A-C, lack, or shellac.
Shellac.
So what about the lack house?
Say the whole story after when you finished and what happened to the...
Well, Vidura came the very evening they were planning to burn the house. There was a big festival in the town, and the Pandavas went to the festival. They understood through a messenger from Vidura, this is the night. They're going to set the house on fire. So... prior to that, Vidura sent someone to build a tunnel from the inside of the house going underneath the house out to the river, a tunnel. And that night, they went through the tunnel to go to the other side of the tunnel by the river, and Vidura was waiting with a boat to take them across the river. There's more detail. Here's the detail. The detail. No, it's a nice detail. It's important detail. That evening, by providential arrangement, there was a lady and her five sons that were poor and were asking for shelter that evening. They were given shelter that evening in the house. When the house burned, there were the bones of a lady and five sons. So it was assumed by Duryodhana and his cohorts that it was successful. They're dead. So they had a big funeral. Krishna, omniscient Krishna, came with Balaram all the way to take part in the funeral, knowing they hadn't died. And while they were on the other side of the river, they dressed the Pandavas and Kunti, dressed like brahmanas, like, you know, hefty brahmanas. And that's when the Swayamvar ceremony of Draupadi took place. They were in the dress of brahmanas. And that's when Arjuna won the hand of Draupadi. It was right after the house of Lak. And nobody knew. They thought they were dead. But Arjuna won the competition for Draupadi's hand. You'll find that in Mahabharata. It's very intriguing. Okay. Others?
Thank you.
Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaji. Material body is made up of five elements. A spiritual body of God is made up of five elements or... Okay.
No elements. Spiritual form has, according to scripture, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Sat Chit and Ananda Vigraha. Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. A form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Sat Chit Ananda. There are other terms, Sanskrit terms, that are correspond with those, but that's good enough for now. Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. No elements. There's not an inside and an outside. Like we have the soul's inside and it's covered by gross and subtle bodies. Krishna has no gross and subtle body. His form is Sat Chit Ananda, eternally spiritual, eternally conscious, and full of Ananda by its nature. But spiritual, those aren't elements, those are his form, aspects of his form. Okay. More?
My last question is, I'm listening for 3 days about samadhi. So in my knowledge, the person who goes in deep meditation for many, many days in the silence, so this is called samadhi. So what is exactly samadhi?
You'll read it in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text, I think it's 21 through 23. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, 21 through 23. 20 through 23? Whatever, we'll find. There's a Bhagavad Gita over there on the shelf.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have anything online? Let's do the online before we circle back to Radha. She must keep you busy all the time. Yeah.
I wanted to ask a clarifying question from yesterday. When we
I saw you taking notes this morning, so you're probably going to do another one of the... Go ahead.
When you quoted the third canto, ninth chapter, that creative Brahma receiving the creative potency, in that, the reference was about the devotee seeing through the ears that you...
Smelling through the ears.
Okay. Because I was trying to find the reference, and the closest I found was the 11th verse of the 9th chapter, which had the seeing through the ears. So I was wondering which is the exact verse reference for that.
I'd have to look it up in my... I didn't memorize it.
Okay. Because it is easier to understand seeing through the ears, because the idea is we hear and our seeing lens gets purified by hearing. But smelling through the ear was very intriguing. And
yes, it is.
Okay. So first question is from Sri Haran Prabhu. Dear Maharaj, how can one feel the connection with Krishna? Name is Sri Nivas Sri Hari Prabhu.
Yes. So go ahead.
The question is, how can one feel connection with Krishna?
Through devotion. He reciprocates. That's how.
Next question is from Rangamataji's father. How can we get full happiness in chanting Mahamantra Japa?
Same question, just expressed differently. Through bhakti, Krishna reciprocates. That's how.
Last question from Amaramataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj. First question is subtle body made of conceptions?
No. Conceptions are within the subtle body.
Next question is, what covers the soul more densely, either subtle or gross body?
Why are you asking this question? The gross is resting upon the subtle, so one could make an argument. The subtle is more of a deeper covering because on top of it has the gross covering. But what is the purpose in asking this question is not clear to me.
That was the last question.
Anything? No? Okay. She gets the last word.
You have something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it's really hard to understand all these things about Krishna expanding and all these pastimes and all this philosophy. How do you understand it?
Well, it's expected that you can't easily understand it. If you thought that you easily understood it, you probably don't understand it. it's another dimension. It's the dimension that's the instruments that we commonly use for gathering understanding of something is the mind and the senses. And this is knowledge beyond the mind and the senses. As long as one continues to try to understand through mind and senses, it will remain a puzzle. Gradually, one has to learn a different... We still use our mind and senses. What in transcendental knowledge, we have to learn gradually, become accustomed to understanding things in a different way. By purified consciousness or elevated consciousness or the soul touching Krishna through sound or sound touching the soul. That's Krishna's reaching to us through sound. His finger, it's like we just have to reach back with our ear through sound. And one can then, to a degree at least, understand. Now, the topic that your father's been asking is, especially last night, was complete Samagram, Mom? Can we ever completely understand? When does the bell ring when we can say, okay, now I understand Krishna? So that's another thing. We can understand that which is inconceivable through Shabda Brahman. That's this Tattva Sandarbha topic that I mentioned. It's how we're invited, encouraged to understand. Don't break the cord. Pressing it, don't do that. It'll weaken the cord, and then they'll have to get another cable. Okay? That's it. Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai. Jai.